good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Is there anybody excited about being in Sunday school on Sunday morning? Amen. Good to see you. I look out through here and I see some precious people that a couple of days ago you weren't feeling so well, and now you're doing better. And that's exciting. You know, sickness comes to us all from time to time. But when we trust in the healer, he's always there with us and helps us along the way. Amen. Brother John Holdham is not able to be in service today, this morning. And so, as my old pastor would say, well, it's back to cornbread and turnip greens this morning. So it's back to pastor this morning. And I want to say it's always an honor to stand before you and bring the word of the Lord to us. There's no better thing that I could do in life, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone asked me the other, it's been a few days ago, and they said, if you weren't a preacher, what would you be? And I said, I'd probably be ashamed of myself, an embarrassment to everybody I come around. Because I'd be like Jonah. I'd be running from the call of God. I'm thankful that God chose me to put his calling and anointing on. There's nothing like it. Amen. Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Have you ever had trouble getting the message through to somebody? It's like you picked up the phone and you called them, and when you'd call them, you couldn't get them. And then back when we had the old phones in the house, you know, they'd ring a little bit, them old rotary phones. You say, and I could hear my dad say, I know they're sitting there by that phone. I just know they're sitting there by that phone. And nowadays you call somebody and they don't answer. And you text them and they respond immediately. And you ask them, what are you doing? They reply, nothing. Well, then why didn't you answer my call? You know, why didn't you just pick up that phone, the same phone you're texting on, and answer the call? Well, I have come to the realization that that does happen sometimes. But cell phones sometimes move on different signals. I've had people say, man, I just tried to text you and you didn't respond, so I was going to call you. And I said, well, I didn't get the text, but I got the call. And so, you know, that telephone tag. I call Brother Johnson sometime and we play tag back and forth, and he'll answer the phone and he'll say, you're it. Because we've just tagged back and forth throughout the day. And then those answering machines. Anybody remember those old answering machines that you'd call somebody and some lady would come on, this answer machine is now full. We are no longer accepting messages. And I'm thinking, how lazy can you be then to clear the answering machine out? And I used to do this years ago when we had those answer machines. I would talk to them, you know. And instead of saying, this is Jeremy, I'm calling you, call me back, I would say, I know you're listening to this. I know you're standing there hovering over this device. Just mess with people. And then, you know, I shouldn't be telling y'all this, but I did have a mean streak in me at one time in my life. All of that's left me. I pray it has anyway. And, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to do back when I was a kid because we preached to you everything but fresh air. And so when three-way calling came out, anybody remember when three-way calling came out? Boy, you'd have thought we'd have hit it. Man, they charge mom and daddy extra for that three-way calling. They'd say, oh, we're sacrificing so you kids can have three-way calling. It's like I thought it was, $100 a month, you know. It might have been $1.50 or something like that. And so we'd get on these three-way calls, and Now, I'm just telling you what I used to be. I don't do this now. I'm just telling you what I used to be. And we'd call Kroger. And they'd answer the phone, "Thank you for calling Kroger, Dyersburg, Tennessee." And I would say, "Y'all got Martha White in a bag?" And they said, "Hold on, we'll go check." We'd wait about 10 minutes, and they'd come back and said, "Yeah, we got Martha White in the bag." And I said, "You better let her out. She's struggling in there." Click. Then you got these hotlines. Got these hotlines, and it says, "Welcome to Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, please press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone else to press 2. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, and 5. If you have an eating disorder, press 6. If the line is busy, go have a little snack while you are placed on hold. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully in a little voice. We'll tell you which number to push. If you are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want. Just stay on this line and we'll trace this call. If you are depressed, it doesn't matter which number you press. No one's going to answer you anyway. If you are delusional and occasionally hallucinate, please be aware that the thing you are holding in your head right now is going to bite your ear off. To register for anger management classes, rip the phone out of the wall right now. Oh, and thank you for calling. Hopefully this helps just a little bit. Worse than that, have you ever had trouble getting someone to understand exactly what you are saying? Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I used to tell the young men that I was overseer of at the Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, "Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Hush up and sit down. I'm going to kill you. Do you understand? It doesn't matter how you receive it. It matters how I speak it." We've all had trouble getting people to understand what we're trying to say. For you see, the word "tell" means to communicate, express, notify, and inform. We tell somebody, this is what we're thinking, this is how we perceive it, and sometimes we get phone tagged back and forth. Then it's sometimes like we've just called a hotline. And then sometimes Martha's just got to get out of the bag. We got to make it known. And in other words, we have to declare. Man, this is an old word my grandparents used. They'd be sitting around, they'd be talking. My pawpaw would have a toothpick in his mouth and he'd pull it out and he'd say, "Well, I declare." Anybody remember that old terminology? He said, man, he'd pull it out at toothpick. "I declare." Well, the word "declare," it means to make known publicly or officially, to reveal or proclaim one's choice or opinion. What Pawpaw was trying to say is, it's very clear what you're saying. I declare. Today, with the help of the Lord over the next just few moments of time, I want to talk about making it clear. Declare a few things. Making it clear so that way we can understand. Declare is from an old Latin word, clarus, meaning very clear. And another word that it comes from is to keep score or to keep record or to recount, to celebrate. We make clear what God is speaking to us and what he has done for us. In Psalms chapter 66, verse number 16, it says, "Come and hear ye all that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Come and hear, and let me declare what God has done for me. I wish we had a group of adults leave the house of God on this Sunday morning, remove the toothpick out of your mouth and say, I declare that God is faithful, that God is good, that he's never late and he's always on time. That no matter my struggle, I declare I'm going to make it clear that if God be for us, who can be against us? In the scripture, there are some things that creation declares, some things that God declares, and some things that we have to declare. What creation declare? It declares God's glory. In Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and it shows what his handiwork does for each and every one of us. I never want to get to a place that I look back over my life and I don't have something to make clear and declare of the goodness of God that he has done for us. The handiwork of God. The handiwork of God's mighty power that he has shown to us. God's righteousness we find in Psalms chapter 97, verse number 6. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all people see his glory. Even the heavens make it clear about his righteousness, and the heavens make it clear that everybody would see his glory. I look around this morning and I see people and out throughout this congregation, and I could start over here and there's a miracle and there's a miracle and here's a few more miracles, and I could make my way all the way through here. On the back row is a miracle. Over here some more miracles. God's handiwork, God's heavens have opened and they have declared that I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I hope we leave here in the year of 2023 on this Sunday morning and we've got a burning desire in us to declare that the heavens will open up to people that want to make it clear to everybody else about the goodness of God. We want to make it clear. God didn't just stop there about the heavens. He said, I'm going to make a covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 13, the scripture says, and he declared unto you his covenant. He's going to make it clear. I want you to know where I stand. I want you to know what I think about you. I want you to know what's going to happen next. I declare unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them on 2 tables of stone. He made a covenant with us, and he wanted it to be clear what it said, so he wrote it down. He wrote it down on 2 tables of stone in the 10 commandments. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 19, it says, I have not spoken in secret. I've got it where everybody, it can be made clear to everybody. I have not spoken in secret. In a dark place of the earth, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness, and I declare, I make it known, I make it clear, things that are right. God wanted to make sure that in this end time hour that we declare his goodness, but he didn't stop there. He didn't want us to stop there. He said, I'm going to make it clear who I am to you, and then you go to declare it to a lost and dying world. I declare to you today that God is faithful. I want to make it very clear that he is faithful. And he will never leave us alone. He will never leave us by ourselves. We may not have everything we want, but I can guarantee you this. You'll have everything you need because God will always supply. He is faithful. He said, I want you to make that known. I wanted it to be known from the end, from the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10, he says it like this, declaring, there it is again, I want it to be made known, I want it to be clear, the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is speaking to us today. I have a plan. And that plan is very clear, that I am on your side. I am not against you. I am going to fight for you. I'm going to make a way. If I can part a sea, what can I do for you? If I can put manna every day of the week and a little extra on Saturday so you can rest on the Sabbath day, if God can do that, what makes you think that God is not making it clear right now that he doesn't walk into your life and into your world and let you know, I'm making it very clear. I love you. I died for you. I declare my love for you this morning. I want to make it high and loud and let it be known that there is an end, and that end includes you, so you can rejoice with me in heaven forever and forever someday. Somebody shout amen if you believe it. What we declare, somebody say, this is what we declare. We declare his glory. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous work among all the nations. God is saying, I want you to get up from your seat of do nothing and get out there in the world of I got to do something and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I think backwards from a lot of y'all. You know, I just think things different sometimes. Somebody said, Jeremy, what kind of brain's working up there? Say, leave me alone. God created me in his image. God thinks something of me. He allows me to think like this. But I thought this. Well, dear God, why couldn't I have been around in the days of old Peter, James, and John? I would have loved to walked up, you know, that day around the temple, that guy begging for some stuff, and look at him and say, oh, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you, Jesus. Now get up and walk and just go on to Starbucks. Now, wouldn't that have been the day to live in? Man, but God chose me to live in this day. But what God is wanting to do through us is that if Peter, James, and John did it, the only difference between you and them is they wore sandals probably every day. That's about the only difference. They had to eat. They had to have a spiritual walk with God. They had to go after his teachings. They had to learn from them, and they blazed a trail. Sort of like in our world living in today, where homosexuality is being pushed, this transgender movement is being pushed, and our government don't know if it's heads on one side or tails on the other. My goodness, we live in chaos. There's really no difference between us and old Brother Peter, Brother James, and Brother John. As a matter of fact, they probably were thinking, if they could see today, my God, I'm glad I lived in the generation I lived in. So if they can declare the goodness of God in their generation, God is saying, I want you to declare my glory among the heathen. I want you to, if they can do it, so can you. You know, and I pray this prayer. I do. Y'all may think I've lost my mind, but I pray when I get out of my truck and I go into Walmart. I'm telling you right now, it's like going on a mission field to Walmart. It's like, my God, Africa would have been a whole lot better than walking up in this place. I get out of my truck, I do this. I plead the blood over my mind. You ought to practice this. It'll help you. I do it. I say it in my mind. Sometimes when I'm by myself, I say it out loud. I plead the blood over my mind. That whatever I'm about to encounter in this supermarket, that the Holy Ghost inside of me not only would protect me, but reveal to them. I'm telling you, oh Lord, have mercy. There's a young lady that was struggling a little bit spiritually. This just happened in the last few weeks. Doesn't attend this church, but very, very, very close friends of ours. And she was struggling spiritually. And she was driving to a workplace. And she began to pray, God, I want to get to where you want me to. And God said, spoke to her and said, pray for every open door to close right now. Every open door, I want it closed. Well, dear God, why in the world would you do that? Don't make sense, does it? So she began to pray, God, every open door that you've got for me to close. Gets out of her car, goes up to this place where she's going to work, a man opens the door, and he's dressed like a woman. Took him by surprise a little bit, and the client they were there to see was a little old elderly lady confined to a wheelchair that has not spoken in many months, just sits there. Looked up and looked at this young lady and began to growl and said, I don't want your presence in this place. We're talking about somebody that's struggling spiritually, not right where they need to be, but they just prayed to God, God, I want you to close every open door. If that's what you want me to do, I want you to close every open door. This little elderly lady plunged for her, was going to attack her. And the guy dressed up like a lady at the door was able to tackle the elderly lady. This young girl left, recorded what happened, called the owner of the business, and they said, that's impossible. Said, that woman hasn't spoken months. Said, it's impossible. She's paralyzed. She can't move. You get her in and out of that chair every day, you should know. But what happened was, is that one young lady surrendered herself to God. She was struggling spiritually, and she was struggling. But she said, God, I want to declare your greatness in my life. And immediately hell recognized. She didn't go to a prayer meeting. She wasn't at the church just jumping and shouting around the front. You know, just went through, you know, an apostolic church service. But she made a rededication of her life. And hell immediately recognized what was going on. I'm telling you, it is time that we make it clear who we are. And we are not ashamed to declare who we are among the heathen. We don't have to go out there and say, hey, heathen, y'all come over here, you bunch of heathens. Now, we ain't got to get out there and just get crazy with it. But we got to start praying the prayers like Pastor prays. I just don't pray it at Walmart. I pray it at the Dollar General store, and I pray it down when I get out at Popeye's. And I'm going to pray it on the 26th when I go to Chick-fil-A. I'm going to pray it wherever I go. Because that's what we've got to do. We've got to make it clear to the enemy who we got to declare who we are. And those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We're fighting a spiritual battle like we have never fought in the existence of mankind. There is wickedness in high places. There is wickedness in low places. There is wickedness in places that we would have never dreamed of. But thanks be to God, we declare him in the heavens and we make him known. And we declare him here right now among the heathen and we make it known. Somebody shout amen. We are walking in a spiritual place. We are walking in a spiritual war. We are walking in, I'm telling you right now, I've told y'all this story and I feel led to tell it again, but you can tell I'm getting old. You know, I'm friends with Brother Pete and Repeat. But I'll never forget it. Walked in that dollar store in Caruthersville, Missouri. Walked straight in that dollar store. Walked in the front door and there was a, what seemed to be, looked like a young man standing there at the counter. And when I walked past the counter, that young man just started shaking, carrying on. And I thought, my God, you know, and I picked up on what was going on. And I went back to the back to get a quart of oil. I remember exactly what I was going for. I was going to get some oil. And when I got to the back of that store, I pled the blood of Jesus over my mind. And I said, God, I just don't want you to cover me. But when I get to that counter and I check out, because you know, God, it's against your will for me to take this. Oh, without paying for it. I said, Lord, when I get to that counter, I want that young man to feel the Holy Ghost. I want something to happen like that young man has never encountered before in his life. And literally, when I got to the counter, that young man checked me out and literally threw my money back at me. He threw my change back at me because what was going on the inside of me, it's not that the young man was a bad young man, but it was those spirits that had him captive, that held him hostage. They didn't like who I was. I'm telling you right now, the days of playing church has to be over. And the days of us walking in and getting a few shondos and a few goosebumps and sitting here like a bunch of statues, those days have got to be over. When we leave here, we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. We've got to be full of the Spirit. We cannot question who we are. We've got to know who we are, because we're about to encounter things in this world among the heathen that they need us to be full of the Spirit. And it's not just for your benefit. It's for your family's benefit. Oh my God, I don't know why I'm here right now, but I'm telling you, when I go to lay hands on people, I take this stuff very seriously. I take it very seriously. If I hadn't been praying like I should, I'm not laying hands on nobody. Because what I lay hands on, there's something being imparted to them. And it may not always be the Holy Ghost. Oh, do you know how I know that? I was a young boy. I remember like it just happened yesterday. There was a lady up front of the church. Her name was Joyce. Devils was being cast out of her, and they thought they had to scream and spit and slime all over her and all that. They's up there praying, and this guy walked through, and he's pushing them out of the way. He said, let me get up here and pray for him. He laid hands on his name was, well, anyway, we're not online, are we? And brother laid his hands on her. He's passed on now. But he laid hands on her. And as soon as he laid hands on her, he said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her in the name of Jesus. That devil shook and looked him in the eyeballs and said, get your hands off of me, you wife beater. Woo! We don't think the devil knows who we are. Needless to say, old brother so-and-so, he slipped out the side door. I wonder if he went and called my hotline, you know. Dangerous ground to be on. This is something we don't play with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and wickedness and high places. Now's not the time to come in, throw your purse down. Men, just reach back and just relax a little bit. This is where we come to get refueled up so we can go out among the heathen. And when we walk on the streets of this city, they'll know. I don't know what is inside of that young man or that young woman, but whatever it is, it's being made clear today that there is something about them that will forever change me for the rest. God, I don't want to be an embarrassment to you. I don't want to be an embarrassment to the apostolic church. I want people to feel something when I get close by. It's not me that I want them to feel. I want him to feel that Shekinah glory, that when he gets in the presence of people that are sick, even the very shadow of this can heal the sick and raise the dead, turn lives around. We got to, oh Lord, this will never happen without prayer and fasting. We'll never move forward in this without prayer and fasting. Oh, let me move on. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 4. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Is there anybody here today know what his name is? Oh, his name is Jesus. And there's no other name like it. I said, this name is Jesus. And there's no other name like it. For you see, in the Old Testament, he was Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Elohim. He was Jehovah Shalom. And we could keep going and going. They really couldn't call out his name in the Old Testament. They were so fearful and afraid. They would call him Jehovah. Jehovah my provider. Jehovah, you know, and they would go through that. Oh, Oh, but I wonder what it felt like on that morning. And you shall bring forth a son, Mary, and I'm going to give you his name, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sin. I just wonder if there's anybody in this room that is ready to declare, make it clear, there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism, there is only one God who is above all, through all, and in us all. Woo! Oh, I want to declare his glory. I want to declare his doings. I want people to know that I know what his name is. Oh, you've heard pastors say this before. But what separates us from everybody else on the face of the earth is that we not only know what that baby's name is, but we've got a revelation of that mighty God in Christ Jesus. And we know that he wrapped himself in flesh and he dwelt among us. And he said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And he said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You just can't do it like you've always done it. You must worship me in spirit and in truth. There's no denying that now I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. There's no denying that I am the first and I will be the last. There is no denying the greatness. We must declare what his name is. His name is Jesus. But we just can't stop there. When we get among the heathen and we declare his glory, we must also talk about this. In Psalms chapter 119, verse number 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We've got to let people know with love and compassion for them, there is a better life. There is a better way. And the alternative to that is turning around. You got to turn around and you got to follow him. Because if you don't, there's going to be judgment. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of people forget this. Let Pastor remind you this. I told you it's going to be cornbread and turnip greens. I just got cornbread coming out of my mouth this morning. But we forget that the scripture teaches, where does judgment begin? It's not out there on them streets. Whoa, my God, get that in your spirit right now. It's not out there at the local supermarket. It says judgment begins at the house of God in the sanctuary. Where we're at right now, when we come in here and we got our do on and, you know, we got our nice suits and ties and suspenders and flip-flops that we got down at the local Goodwill store. We come in here and we hold our nose high in the air and God says, boy, you better put her down a notch. This is where judgment's going to begin. This is where I judge you if you've done what I told you to do or not. Oh, my Lord. I tapped into something right there. I want you to grab that and take it home with you today. I can't be judging outside the world when the judgment begins in the house of God. We're held accountable for what we should be doing. God's going to hold us accountable for that. Well, I don't know why those people out there, they just keep doing it. I understand why they keep doing it. Some of them don't know any better. And we're in here and we're worried about losing our seat. We're in here worried about, is it going to be warm enough? Or is it going to be cool enough? Or are we going to like the next paint color that comes out in the sanctuary? Come on, we got to get past ourselves and realize judgment begins in this house. And if I don't get me right, nothing else around me is going to be right. Woo! My, oh Lord, I got to hurry. I promise you, 11 a.m. I'll do better, okay? I'll do better than 11 a.m. But we've got to keep a fresh vision of the judgments of God in our mind. We ought to be convicted. We're Holy Ghost filled people. We ought to be convicted when we do something that we know is not right according to this word of God. We ought to be convicted of ourselves when we know what we should be doing and we just don't want to do it. I know, I'm there. I get there a lot. Boy, I got seniority around here. Well, don't they know who I am? Don't they know where my office is at, bless God? I'm the pastor, for crying out loud. I'm not doing that. I'm the pastor. God will come by and kick me in my backside. I don't care who you are. I don't care what office you hold. I told you to get out there and tell the heathen. You get out there and tell the heathen that I'm Lord of all. And if I'm not Lord of all, I'm not Lord at all. You got to get out there and tell them. Well, that'll wake you up, won't it? I got to know that I'm going to be judged for what I do and what I don't do. And you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and be judged by it. Well, I'm just doing this to shut the preacher up. Don't ever do nothing to keep the preacher quiet. You do it because you love God. You do it because you're in love with the master. You do it, and you do it because you know that it's a connection between you and him and not you and me. Am I helping anybody this morning? This is a God thing. This is not a Jeremy and you and God thing. It's between you and God. Oh, let me move on. They got me on timer this morning. So I got to hurry. In Psalms chapter 145, verse number 6, it says, "And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." What is this teaching us? There's going to be people that's going to speak against. And while they're over here, you're over here doing jumping jacks. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, you're so great and marvelous and faithful and wonderful. We're declaring the mighty acts of God among the heathen. When they speak against the church, we exalt and lift up the church. Come on, I'm telling you right now, I don't mind saying this, I love you, but every church has got hypocrites. It don't matter if you got two people. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. There's hypocrites wherever we go to church. But you know, I'm not going to let the hypocrite's voice be louder than mine. I'm going to declare the greatness of God in my life. And I'm not going to let you throw a wet blanket on a revival around here. There are praying people around here. Well, bless God, I never see them come to the front of the church. Well, bless God, not everything that shouts is of God. Lord, I knew it was bad for John Holdem to call in today. Even when it's going crazy over here, I still got to stand on that solid rock and make it clear that they may not think he's faithful, but let me tell you what he's done for me. He's put food on my table when I didn't have any in the pantry. He's put clothes on my children when they had holes in their shoes. He's paid the light bill when I thought they was going to disconnect it. He started a car that didn't even have the right connections in it to get me out of trouble and get me to where I needed to go. You go ahead and talk down on my Jesus, but I'm going to stand over here and I'm going to make it very clear. I know he's on my side. I'm going to make it very clear that if God be for you, it don't matter who's against you. I'm going to make it clear today. We haven't seen our best revival here at Christian Life Center. We ain't seen the last soul baptized here at Christian Life Center. We haven't seen the last prodigal come home yet, because your kids are still coming and your family is still going to be. You go ahead and talk bad about the preacher if you want to, but I go to a thriving apostolic church. You go ahead and talk about that brother that you don't ever see do anything. He's a prayer warrior. He can shake hell. Go ahead and talk about that sister if you want to. We are in this thing for revival, and it's not as bad as the report says it is. Oh, yeah. Woo. Oh, my. Oh, my. I used to let it bother me when people talked about me. Now I just take it as free advertisement. Because you know what people do? I've had people say, oh, he's just a charismatic. He don't believe fat meat's greasy. That preacher don't believe nothing. And then when they come and they taste and they see, and let every man be a liar and the word of God be true. Yes. You can tell a lie and it's still a lie. But you can tell the truth and it don't matter. It's always going to stand. Oh, my Lord. Oh, let me move on. Oh, maybe I can get this one out. In Psalms chapter 40, verse number 10. We've already covered this, but here it is in the Word of God. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared, there it is again, I've made it clear. I've let it be known. I've let it known how I feel about thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and the truth from the great congregation. I've declared it all. I've declared it all. Oh, I said, I have declared it all. Oh. I was at Because of the Times this past week, and there was 2,000 plus ministers and their families, spouses, and they were there, and never saw this guy a day in my life. He walked up to me, and he said, you pastor in the Tri-Cities? I said, it depends on who's asking. He said, well, it's me. And I said, well, what do you want? And I was just messing around and said, you do pastor in the Tri-Cities? And I said, yes, sir. I get the great honor and privilege pastoring in the Tri-Cities. He said, man, he said, I've been watching your church services online. And he said, if it feels anything like it does in my office, if it feels anything like that in that building, I can understand why God's doing what you're doing. I said, sir, where are you from? He said, I'm from Kentucky. He said, I think he's about 6 hours away from us. But somehow somebody told him about our church. I'm telling you right now, we're making a difference. Not just in this city, but in the surrounding areas. And I refuse to walk up here and declare, oh, my Lord, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. We're just a bunch of poor people just trying to make it through life. The devil's been on my trail. My Lord, if something don't happen, I'm just going to quit God, and I'm just going to give up. No, 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 no. I'm not going to conceal thy loving kindness any longer. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to let it be known wherever I go that when people see me, they'll know that God is good and that thy testimonies will live on and forever. You see, we are a blessed people, and we got to make it clear. We are a giving people, and we've got to make it clear. And the reason we give is because God has blessed us. Oh, he's blessed us beyond what we deserve. I am appealing to some saint of God in this place. Shake yourself out of that dilemma you're in and declare it today. I'm making it clear. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've never been sick that God didn't touch me. I've never seen my kids in a situation that God did not answer. It may not be what we want, but bless God, it's God's will working out. Psalms chapter 107, verse number 22, and it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I stand here today a very rich man. A very rich man. A very rich man. Oh, Pastor, you mean to tell me you got money in 4 banks? I didn't say I had money. I said I'm rich. I didn't say I had it all together. I just said I'm rich. I'm rich on the mercies of God. Because I must declare it. When I woke up this morning, before I ever done anything else, his mercy approached me and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm rich in mercy. I'm rich in love because they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He bowed his head and for me he died. I'm rich in love because nobody else would ever do that for me. I'm rich. I'm rich. I got more than I deserve. And thank God, he's let me bypass the things that I did deserve. And he showed me the way. So I stand here today on this Sunday morning in this brand new year to declare to you, I am making it clear right now. I will tell it among the heathen. I will share it among God's people that this is the best life ever. When you completely surrender your life to Him, could we lift our hands all over this place and thank Him right now? God, I'm going to make it clear right now that I am the head and not the tail, not because of my might but thy might, not by my power but your power. And God, I declare it this day that greater is He that's in me than anything that could be against me. I declare it among your people, O God of thy faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for meeting us here today and helping us share your word. Lord, I hope it's been an encouragement into the life of God's people today. We praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to shake somebody's hand. Get up from where you're sitting if you're able. Mingle around a little bit. Tell somebody you love them, because I'm going to tell you this next service, it might get loud.